Lord. Let's bow in prayer tonight, Heavenly Father. It's so true, Lord. We just want to confess that from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, that, Lord, you're all that we desire, Lord, tonight. Truly, there's a longing deep within, Lord, that's from you, that only you can meet, only you can satisfy, Lord. And we just want to be with you tonight, Father. We want to bless you and lift you up. Father, tonight we just ask, and on Wednesday night, sometimes we're tired, sometimes we're a little weary, maybe a bit scattered and troubled from different things. Lord, we just ask that you'd come amongst us tonight, Lord, both here in our midst, Lord, those online as well, that you would just bring a settled peace, Father, a stillness, Lord, a rest and a peace that only comes from you. Granted, Heavenly Father, you told us in your word, be careful for nothing. Lord, we just want to claim that. We want to come under that tonight. Lord, grant it. Just quiet our hearts, quiet our minds, Lord, that we can connect with you, that we can partake of you. Lord, we do lift up all the different ones that are battling illnesses. We rebuke those sicknesses, all those symptoms. We thank you for the healing, the victory in Jesus Christ. It's complete. It's done. We confess it and we claim it. Lord, thank you. Father, just ask that you would bless the remainder of this service, that you'd get me out of the way, Lord, truly, and speak and have your way. Be lifted up alone, we ask. We just give you thanks and praise, and we glorify you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen, that's right. Thank you, musicians. Appreciate you. Pete, for filling in. Wow. That's a blessing. I knew right away, as soon as I heard, Pete's out there on the piano. I love it. So I'm glad we have three. We're three deep on the piano. That's a blessing. Maybe more, yeah. So. Oh, yeah. So, of course, thank you. I'm Stephen, of course, and goodness. Oh my, Lord is good. All right, just going to tell you right up front, I got super something real simple tonight, real simple. So I hope it's just encouraging, hope it's a blessing. I think to me it's simple. You know, we'll see how the Lord brings it out and ministers and how it speaks to every heart. But maybe just to kind of prepare or get into it, you know, more all the time, you know who I love. One of many, many characters is Noah. It's just such a blessing. You know, one man heard from God, and he stood alone for a very long time. He didn't have support. It was him. And he walked with God, and he pleased God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So we're going to kind of encourage, I hope this is encouraging. It's encouraging to me. But we're going to kind of, off that basis, we want to just, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the, you know, as Brother Branham might say, the celebrity of heaven. And, you know, we know outwardly to the natural eye, all through time, God's people, God's children, to the human eye, don't appear like much. You know, maybe not much going for us. And in fact, not only not much going for us, maybe there's flaws and maybe there's problems and weaknesses and those things that abound. And yet, you know, you could look at, just to dramatize a little bit, look at... You know, hey, did you know that man Enoch down the street? Yeah, I knew him. Yeah, I went, you know, we worked with him. Our kids went to school together. Yeah, he's gone. Enoch, you mean he was the son of God? He was a prophet. He was, you know, and so it is through, you know, all the way down, all through time, God's family, God's children, God's people. Outwardly, might not look like much, but inwardly, you know, there's a gem, there's a seed there that's the grace of God. And so again, we're talking about, again, the celebrity of heaven tonight, just the things that outwardly might not look like much. Hopefully we can take encouragement from this as we look into some of these things. And, you know, we obviously, we know we're very well acquainted with our own problems, our own weaknesses. So most of the time, I don't think we probably feel like we're too much, but let's go back into the Word. Let's see who we are in the Word, who our real identification is, and who we are in Him, and I think we can be encouraged. So we'll just stand. We'll open up with a passage or two tonight. Matthew chapter 11, and verse 25, real familiar text. All right, Matthew 11, 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And then over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4, and we'll just start with one here. Therefore, seeing as we have received this ministry, as we've received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but my manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, here we go. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. You can be seated. And I just think right there, that's such a beautiful passage, that verse. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. You know, what a contrast. Earthen vessels and flawed and men and women who, you know, again, outwardly to the natural eye might look like there's so many faults and errors. And again, we could go through time, we could go through the Bible and all of history and find all of God's characters, the celebrity of heaven, you know, and find fault and find flaws, if as it were. And yet, it's his children, it's his sons, his daughters, treasures in earthen vessels. And again, to the natural eye, the public eye, we could say, you know, Enoch, that man down the street. Oh, Joshua, you mean my next door neighbor? Oh, yeah. We just thought he was just, you know, just like me, just like you, just like any one of us. And yet it was a son, a daughter of God. We can be encouraged because we know that what makes us unique, what makes us special, isn't this outer shell at all. It's what's on the inside. That's the value. That's the worth. You know, and I love Brother Branham. I love how he talks about, I mean, oh boy, Joshua for sure. But, you know, Jacob and Esau, outwardly to the natural eye, who looked like the better man? Esau took care of his dad, and he was the real gentleman, and he was had more, maybe more admirable qualities and characteristics. But Jacob, what does he say about Jacob? His whole heart was for that birthright. Can you say amen to that? Hey, I don't have much going for me, really. But My heart is His. My heart's all after that, you know, the eternal. And keep going down the list, you know. Samson, how does he describe Samson? I love that. Oh, do you remember? A small, curly-headed shrimp with seven little curly locks of hair, you know, something like that. I think he describes David the same way. What was it? It was God in them. It's God in you. It's God in us. And so we'll look at some things tonight. Now, hopefully, again, it's encouraging. Again, super, super simple. But as we even take that thought, Enoch, the man next door, you put yourself there. Does the world did not, has not ever recognized him, has not ever recognized his seed, his children, the same today. We're surrounded by people. Let your light shine. They may not, they probably will not know who they're dealing with, but they will be blessed if they're good to you. They will be blessed if they're merciful. Amen. All right, this is beautiful. This is Abraham, and there's so many places. If you want to just go do a study on your own, please do, but go look up the term ordinary man. Ordinary man. Do you feel like you could raise your hand on that one? Ordinary man. Abraham, over and over. Of course, he says the same about so many others. It's encouraging. Ordinary man, ordinary men. I think there's 270-something places where he uses that. All right, so he says, notice Abraham. He was just an ordinary man come down from the Tower of Babel with his father. They settled down and probably was up in the land of Shinar, come on down to the city of Ur in the land of the Chaldeans. He was just an ordinary man. Not nothing, no saint, no God, just an ordinary man. Yes, a Syrian. He says, just an ordinary man, nothing about him any different from anyone else. No more than there is you, just an ordinary person. But God saw something in him, and he called him. And God's seen the same in every born-again man and woman here. So I just love that. I think, again, if that's not encouraging to you, I don't know what would be, but I find that just such a blessing to look at that and understand who, again, this beautiful reality of what we have inside. Outside may not be much. We might not only might not be much, we might have a long list of things that aren't so great. And yet, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Aren't you thankful for that? He says here again, this is in the message, Jehovah Jireh. Now, Abraham, we find out, don't appear until we find him about the 12th chapter, the 11th chapter of Genesis. We find his father come down from Babylon, and Abraham was just an ordinary man. Just as you or I or anyone else. And he was getting rather, we would think, aged man. He was 75 years old. He had married his half-sister. Her name was Sarah. His name then, of course, wasn't Abraham. It was Abram, and hers was S-A-R-A. So we find she was 10 years younger than he, which made her 65, him 75. Then he said he was probably a farmer, lived in the Valley of Shinar, lived an ordinary life. He probably went out in the daytime and got his meat from the bush and picked berries and lived that sort of life. Just an ordinary man. There was nothing special about him. But one day, God called him. That's what made the difference. When God made the call. Amen. And I just love that again, to think of that, to think of the people that we're surrounded with. What good company we're in tonight. Do you feel like just an ordinary person? Yeah, I sure do. But God called, and that made the difference. And there's that again, treasure in earthen vessels. That the amen, just as we read, treasure in earthen vessels, the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. I love to read these things just to go back into the scriptures, and so much of this is so refreshing to me, because all carnal, all religiosity flies out the window when we really begin to look at the reality of God's family-ness. It's grace. grace. And I love in Hebrews, for example, there's tons, it's everywhere. But I've always loved Hebrews 11. By faith, the harlot Rahab. Faith and harlot in the same? Yeah, exactly. Because she was mine. And you're mine, even though you're just plain old, normal, ordinary people. My seed is in you. Amen. Amen. And of course, our Lord Jesus, Isaiah 53, that he hath no form nor comeliness. There's no beauty that we should desire him. Outwardly, naturally, to the public eye, just look like anybody else. But it was that inside, the character of Christ, the character of God himself, that makes him so attractive. And I think the tense, as the scripture says, that same chapter you go on, he is despised and rejected. The tense there is important. He is despised and rejected. Still, to this day, including in you and I, he's despised and rejected. So we see our place, and again, I think we can just be encouraged as we go through the scriptures. A few other examples. If you want to turn there with me or just listen along, is fine. Deuteronomy 7. I love this. Draw a few more examples out of the scriptures. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. We know this. It says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself." There you go. "Above all the people that are on the face of the earth." Now here you go. Small, little, ordinary people. "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all the people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep his oath, the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, that the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Amen. You didn't have anything going for you. That's okay. I don't have anything going for me. That's okay. It's his elective love, his amazing grace, and that's what we look to. Let's turn to New Testament, 1 Corinthians. We know this well. I think we've read it several times, but so fitting here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, end of the chapter, verse 26. "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Isn't that the truth? "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen." It's what he's ordained. It's his perfect wisdom. "Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Amen. He is my everything. Amen. And I don't know if we're going to take time. I just want to share this. I'll maybe put it in Grace Ministries, and you can come back to it. I know I've shared this before in the West, and I want to share this for later. You can just here we go. Well, maybe we'll read it together. It's good. So here we are. All right, you got that? I love that. "For take a good look at your divine summons, brethren, that not many wise men according to human standards," there we go, the outward eye, the natural eye, don't look like much. "Not many men of dignity and power, not many who are of royal or aristocratic lineage are given that divine summons." But God selected out for himself those individuals among the world of sinners characterized by the aforementioned foolishness in order that he might put to confusion those who are wise. And those individuals among the world of sinners characterized by weakness. There you go. So not only is there not much to look at, but there's a lot that you really don't want to look at. And yet God says, hey, you're mine. Characterized by weakness, God selected out for himself in order that he might put to confusion those who are characterized by strength. And those individuals among the world of sinners who are not of royal or noble ancestry, but belong to the common people. I love that. You know, the Bible says the common people heard him gladly. And those who are utterly despised, God selected out for himself, utterly despised. The aforementioned classes of individuals looked upon as, I love this, non-entities. Oh, that's good. In order that he might deprive of force, influence, and power those who think themselves to be somewhat, to the end that humanity may not in a single instance boast in his presence. Amen. Don't you love him? His grace is so amazing. Amen. But as for you, here you go. Out from him are as a source are you in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom for us from God, both righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that even as it stands written, he who boasts in the Lord, let him be boasting. Amen. Amen. So I just hope this is encouraging. Again, we're in a good class of people. If you feel like you're nothing, you're nobody, that's okay. You're his. You're his. And the celebrity of heaven. Let's just go down the list. Let's keep thinking about, let's keep talking about these ones. And, you know, beautiful. Okay, here you go. This is from the message, Have Not I Sent Thee? And he's talking about Gideon here. And I think, yes, here we go. Now, Gideon, when he was out there threshing his wheat, no doubt but that prophet's message was going through his heart. But the prophet said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I'm the one who brought you out of Egypt. I'm the one that give you what you've got. Turn to me. Oh, that's beautiful. And here he and his father was threshing this wheat, and an angel came to him, or he thought it was an angel. Turned out it wasn't an angel. It was God himself, because you got to watch. Capital L-O-R-D, see? And when he spoke to Gideon, now listen, he spoke to Gideon. Gideon was a little surprised. He said, now, mighty man of valor, he didn't know he was. Wait, me? What? Who are you talking to? You mighty man of valor, maybe you don't know who you are. Wake up, little bride, wake up. Who are we? He says, now, mighty man of valor, he didn't know who he was. Maybe you don't know who you are. You might be many of these mighty men of valor tonight sitting here. You say the little church, small group, oh my, there was only two, him and his daddy. There only has to be two here. He says it's you and Christ. That's all it takes to be a mighty man of valor. I just love that though. You mighty man of valor. Wait, me? What? Do you see what he sees in you? We have his treasure in earthen vessels. Amen. And I love, you don't have to turn there. I'll just go there real quick. But I think this is such a beautiful, his grace is so magnified in all this. And I couldn't help but think of Hebrews 5. I'm just going to turn there just for a minute. And because we can identify, we see this. It says Hebrews 5 verse 1, for every high priest is taken from among men, is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them who are out of the way, for that he also himself is compassed with infirmity. He hath made us kings and priests. We must understand it's his grace. We cannot minister. We cannot help unless that is a reality, and we've partaken of that grace. We know I'm nothing. I'm nothing without him. 1 Corinthians 4:7, for who made thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Amen. What do we have? Our boasting is in him. It's all him. And then Isaiah 66, he says, thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, that trembles at my word. So just, again, just capturing the reality of God's grace and where would we be without him? So there's just such a balance here, I think, in understanding what lies on the inside, that treasure that is in an earthen vessel that is flawed, that is imperfect, that has weaknesses and failure, just a ordinary man. Amen. Yes, I love it. This is in the message unveiling of God, and I would encourage you, just to go into some of these unveiling of God, mighty God unveiled before us, and just dig into some of these. And you can see, you look up that term, that word, badger skin, and we know how that veiled God, we know. Guess what, today, that same thing is going on with you and I, hiding him, displaying him. Amen. It's you now in this day. The Shekinah glory manifests him. It brings forth the word of promise right out of you. Let me say that again. The Shekinah glory manifests him. It brings forth the word of promise right out of you. That's the reason he had to veil Moses' face, because he was in the Word. He veiled Jesus as a humble little man to keep them from seeing Jehovah, and he veils himself today in earthen vessels with a Shekinah. The outside looks like a bunch of holy rollers. There we go, old badger skins. But on the inside hides Shekinah glory. Amen. Do you believe that? Do you believe that's you? I do. Amen. No beauty that we should desire him. Isaiah 53. Oh my goodness, it's not the outside, it's the inside. We know James 5:17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions. Just an ordinary man. How sometimes I think in our minds we build up and we portray things in a certain way, and we fail to realize the reality of that ordinary man, God with skin on it, what that looks like. Look around you. That's what it looks like. Amen. Treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. All right, this is from that message, the mighty God unveiled before us. We'll just maybe break this up a little bit. He says, and we find out there that God has always had skin on him. Amen. When Moses seen him, he had skin on him, looked like a man. When God was behind the curtains, he had skin on him. And tonight, God, tonight is in his church, veiled in his church with skin on it. He's still the same God tonight. We find that. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man, deity veiled again in human flesh. Now remember, Jesus didn't say when the Son of God is being revealed. He says in Luke 17th chapter, I believe about the 20th, 21st verse, somewhere along there, and when the Son of Man is being revealed, the Son of Man back in the church again, revealed in human beings, not Son of God, but Son of Man back again in his church in the last days. We find what he's promised in his things. He says, we notice another thing. In the Old Testament, I have scripture here in Exodus, the old badger skins, what did it do? It hid the glory of God from the people, the badger skins. Even the people couldn't see it because it was the skin that held it. the skin was, the glory of God was behind the skin. Do you see who you are? Do you recognize where God is today in this hour, in his church, templed in his body? And guess what? It's just ordinary people like you and me. Amen. I love that. Abraham was just an ordinary man. What does God see? What is God looking at? Who are you? Like he said to Gideon, you mighty man of valor. Oh, wait, me? Mighty man of valor? Yes. Oh, little bride, little, I've called you. You're mine. Amen. Amen. Let's just touch on a few more scriptures. 1 John chapter 3. And verse 1, we know, here we go. It's interesting. We can just, in a way, identify with those that have gone before with our Lord Jesus. Okay, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world is going to admire and esteem and love you and set you apart on a pedestal? Nope. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So here is where, again, we identify with Christ. It's not the outside. You're not recognized. You're not received. You know, Brother Branham preached that message, unrecognized presence of God, God being misunderstood, all those different things. And we experience a lot of the same things, not to make ourselves anything, but, you know, there's some parallels there. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, similar, we'll just go back to that. You can listen along or turn there with me either way. Matthew chapter 15, let me get there. Oops, did I say 15? 13. Oh, okay. Sorry. All right, Matthew 13 and verse 53. Oh, yeah. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence, and he was come into his own country. He taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Here we go. It's just as I started out. Wait, Enoch, you mean that guy down the street? Moses, Noah, that guy over there, have you I went to work with him and kids grew up together and wait, what? Son of God? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. Kids, pay attention there. They were offended in him. They still are. If the Jesus you're serving, the Jesus you're following, doesn't have a black eye, you might want to be careful. Think about this. They were offended him, and he said, Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Who is this man? See that outside, the outside tabernacling deity, they could not see it, and they still don't. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Amen. Church, you know who you are. Do you know what you have inside? The treasure, the pearl of great price. All right, we're just going to continue on with that quote where we kind of left off. He says, again, he says, people couldn't see it. The badger skins veiled the glory of God. He says that the people couldn't even see it because it was skin that held it, skin that veiled it. The glory of God was behind the skin, and now the glory of God is behind your skin. Believe that. The glory of God is behind your skin. This skin that's imperfect and so flawed and so in, yes, I have chosen you. Remember, Abraham was just an ordinary man. He was going along picking berries, and one day God called him. That made the difference. One day God called you, and that made the difference. What does God see? What's on the inside? Amen. And the glory of God is behind your skin. That's right. And the traditions don't see it. It's inside the veil where the word was. What was on the inside of that skin back there, old badger skins? He says, which there was no beauty that we should desire it. When the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, there was still no beauty that we should desire it. It's not outward. It's inside. And now it's the same thing today. There's nothing in a man or woman that can be desired. Amen. It's what's behind there. It's what's inside you. He says, that's what it is. We say, well, that fellow, he used to be a drunkard. He used to do this. I don't care what he used to do. What's hid behind that skin? It's what behind there that counts. That's what it is. The people is blinded. The skin blinds the people. He says, well, I remember that when that woman used to do, I know what she used to do, but what about now? Them skins that was once in a badger, but it's now it's hiding the glory of God. Got it housed behind it. It was on an animal, but now it's housing the glory of God. And so can your skin be changed tonight to be made a housing place for God. God dwelling in humanity, in you and in me, in ordinary, everyday people. Amen. Don't you love that? Who is it? It's Him. Who is the great one in our midst? It's Him in us. Amen. The celebrity of heaven, you know, of whom this world was not worthy. I love that. Go read that. Maybe we'll turn there for a minute. Hebrews 11, the end of the chapter there. I've always loved that. Hebrews 11, and let's start with verse 31 that I mentioned. By faith, the harlot Rahab. What beautiful words. What beautiful words. Perish not when she had believed not. Perish not with them that believe not when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say, for time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, and Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and all the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. The celebrity of heaven, right there. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves, all these having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Amen, amen. I love that. So again, we're in a company of wonderful, amazing children of God, ordinary, but called. God chosen, God called. Ordinary people, just like Abraham. And on down the list, we could look at ourselves, we can look at our flaws, but that's not what we're looking at. It's Him inside of you, Him inside of me. a treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. Don't you love him? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just bless you tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for these things that just we can draw from the scriptures and be encouraged, Lord. And even as we, you know, feel so insufficient in ourselves and imperfect and weak, and yet we know it's not us, Lord. It's you inside. It's your election. It's your calling. It's your grace, Father. And we say thank you. We bow our heads and we say thank you, Lord. Pray that you would just open our eyes more to our position, our identity, Lord, who we are in you. And we just give you glory and honor and praise in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You are of God. First, just one more in closing. Actually, two more. I missed this. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant. This is Isaiah 12:6. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of you. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. It's him in us. It's him in you. Amen. Ordinary people. I was singing, Peter, that song, Something More Than Gold in My Soul. Just, oh, there we go. Okay. There it is. Yeah. How does that happen so quick? Amen. Let's stand. We'll just sing that together. Eh? I like that. Something in my heart, like a stream running down, makes me feel so happy as can be. When I think of Jesus and what he's done for me, he's something more than gold in my soul. Yes, there's something more than gold. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There's something more than gold. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There is something more than gold in my soul. Yes, there's something more than gold. Sing it one more time. Something in my heart, like a stream running down, makes me feel so happy as can be. When I think of Jesus and what he's done for me, gives me something more than gold in my soul. Yes, there's something more than gold. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There's something something more than gold. Amen. Isn't that the truth? Something more than, everything is passing away. It's all going to fade. It's all going to fail. But what we have on the inside, brothers and sisters, how about who I am? I can see now who I am. A part of my Savior, a part of his word. Oh, glorious victory, that day he set me free and made my heart his very throne. My life is no longer mine. I am a prisoner of love divine, and now I live.
God's great mystery of love expressed to me, that Christ and I might be made one. Who I am, Lord, who I am, I can see now who I am. A part of my Savior, a part of His Word, the revelation of who I am.
Badger skins, brothers and sisters, hiding him inside. What does Jesus Christ look like today? Look around you. Amen. You're hiding him. He's in you. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Pete, would you close for us? Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we're just so grateful to you for your word. Lord, what you're doing in us, and Lord, you've called us and opened our eyes and our hearts, Lord, to you. Lord, there's nothing in ourselves, but Lord, you knew us before the foundation of the world, and you put your life and your seed inside of us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Knowing that in this day it would spring forth to life. And Lord, as you pour into us, Lord, and watering the seed, Lord, it's bringing forth that reflection of you, Lord, that you've placed inside of us, Lord. We're so thankful for these things, Father. Keep working in us. Keep opening up your word. Keep giving us wisdom,
yes,
revelation, Lord. We're so grateful, Father. Lord, again, we just want to lift up the needs, Lord, and spoken requests, Father. Those not feeling well, Lord, we just ask that you would just strengthen them. Bring complete healing, Father. We just ask now that you would go with each one as they leave, Lord, and that you would just protect us in the roads,
yes,
Father. We just commit all these things in your hands. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.